Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Let's do this. Thank you for hanging out with the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius 206, radio.com, coming to you live from the great city of Chicago, more specifically the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. No Game of Thrones spoilers on this show. I don't know what I was thinking accepting this job. Sure, it's a promotion and it's national exposure and it's absolutely fantastic for my career. But man, I didn't think about the season finale of Game of Thrones in this last season. Whoops. Normally I would say follow along and interact with me on Twitter at Danny Parkins and interact with the network at CBS Sports Radio, but I'm not going to read it. Sorry. I can't trust you guys to not spoil what is maybe the last truly impactful cultural phenomenon television show that we'll all watch together, you know, except for me. Because now we're all splintered, right? We got Netflix and Hulu and HBO and on demand and cord cutting and all that. That shows like this are going to be tougher and tougher to get everybody together for to watch. More people will watch tonight's Game of Thrones than Sunday Night Football. Once you add in streaming and recording and people watching it all around the world, each of these Game of Thrones episodes is going to be the equivalent of like the AFC Championship game. Each and every one. That's insanity. It is a pop culture phenomenon that has crossed over. And we're here hanging out talking sports. And honestly, well, yeah, there's one place I'd rather be, and that's watching Game of Thrones. But other than that, I'm here, and there's no other place than that that I'd rather be than right now. I do want to talk to you, though. We've got NBA playoffs, but the vast majority of tonight's show, I'm hoping, is going to be Tiger Woods related. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, because I want to get personal. I want to tell you what Tiger Woods means to me, so therefore what today meant to me, and then I want to hear what he means to you. What did today mean to you with Tiger Woods? What has Tiger Woods meant to you? And you might say, what are you talking about, Parkins? It's sports. It's a golfer. Yeah, for many of you, probably that's what it was. It was just a sporting event that you watched. And it was cool. And maybe you had a strong sports thought on it. Maybe you loved Tiger. Maybe you hated Tiger. Maybe you thought you'd see this again. Maybe you didn't think you'd see it again. But to a lot of people, Tiger Woods means a lot of things beyond just favorite golfer. And I was thinking about this today as I was watching. And I was among those who never thought I'd see Tiger Woods win another major. I never thought I'd see Tiger Woods win another tournament. When he won the Tour Championship at that field of 30, I was excited, but it kind of felt like a bit of an asterisk. The golfers are just so good now. There's so many young, talented, long golfers who came up in the era of Tiger, who watched Tiger, who worked out like Tiger, and in many ways, in terms of their skills, have surpassed Tiger Woods. And there he was, 11 years since he last won a major, 14 years since he last wore a green jacket, three back surgeries, a neck injury, an Achilles injury, and hundreds of tabloid fodder headlines later, after not even entering three of the last five Masters because of health and injury, there was Tiger Woods standing alone, needing just a bogey to win, his fifth green jacket and 15th career major at Augusta. And I was thinking about what he's meant to me personally. And the answer is, he's the most influential athlete in my life, probably other than Michael Jordan. I grew up as a kid in the 90s in Chicago, and I still have a signed Jordan jersey on my living room wall, much to my wife's chagrin. But it was kind of a prerequisite. I said, you know, if we're going to get serious, just so you know, once you move in, that Jordan jersey's never coming down. She agreed. She's pretty cool. But I bonded with my dad over going to Bulls games in the 90s. And then we would go to sporting events. That was our thing. Go to big games. Go to Cubs opening day. Notre Dame football. Cowboys, Packers. He's a Packer fan from Wisconsin. We'd go to games. But the majority of games that I went to in my childhood, and my favorite thing in the world was going to Bulls games and Michael Jordan. So I got my work ethic from my parents and Michael Jordan. I got my competitiveness from my parents and Michael Jordan. I bonded with my dad largely through Michael Jordan. I mean, he is the most influential athlete in my life. But I was thinking about it. I was 10 years old when Tiger won the Masters in 97. I was born in October of 86, so I had not yet turned 11 years old when he won. But I remember watching, and I remember the youth and the dominance, and thinking that he was cool. And honestly thinking that he reminded me of Michael Jordan. Nike athlete, wearing black and red, dominating the field. Insane competition and competitive drive. I thought he was unbelievably cool. And my dad didn't play golf. My mom didn't play golf. But I started playing golf. I started playing golf because of Tiger Woods when I was 11, 12 years old. I think I started the next summer. And I went to a golf camp. I played golf on my high school golf team freshman year, and I went to a school where I graduated with 960 kids in my class. It was like a small college, 4,000 people in my high school, so making sports teams was tough. Basketball was my first love, but had no shot of making that team. 6'0", 160 pounds, now soaking wet, then even less. White, Jewish, not a speck of raw athletic ability. Basketball wasn't in the cards, was scared of the ball in baseball. Certainly wasn't playing tackle football. But I was a pretty good golfer, and I had started because of Tiger Woods. But then it got even more connected than that, because I had and still have scoliosis, which is, for anyone who doesn't know, curvature of the spine. Basically, as I kept growing, my spine wasn't straight. It was curved like an S in two spots. So I had to have spinal fusion surgery in high school. And then after that, there were actually some complications. And between my sophomore and junior year of high school, I had 5 back surgeries. One of which was 8 hours, one of which was 6 hours, and then 3 shorter ones in between. And missed a ton of school, stopped playing golf, stopped playing sports. And, you know, not that I was going pro. I wanted to be Steve Kerr or John Paxson. I wanted to be the white guy shooting corner threes for the Bulls. But, you know, that wasn't in the cards. But stopped playing sports, and that was what I did. Found radio, found debate, realized that I have a decent ability at public speaking, and that's what I ended up doing. Moved away, didn't have friends really to play golf with. You know, you got to really have like a crew of people that you want to play golf with, spend 5-6 hours. Then starting out in radio, you don't make any money. Golf's an expensive sport. Couldn't afford it. I didn't play golf for 10 years, really, other than a bachelor party here or there. One, maybe 2 rounds a year. After shooting in the mid-80s when I was 15, couldn't break 110. And Tiger Woods, obviously, spinal fusion, multiple back surgeries, almost has to quit the game, thought he was done. Obviously, Tiger Woods and I are could not be any less alike. He's one of the most gifted athletes that I've ever seen. He is the most talented golfer probably in the history of the sport. Jack Nicklaus has won more, but in terms of raw athletic ability at the game, Tiger Woods is the most dominant ever. So I don't relate to Tiger Woods in that way, but, you know, there's some parallels. He made me love the game. Both had spinal fusion surgery. Both thought we were quitting. And right now I'm trying to get back into it. I'm taking lessons. I'm playing with friends. I played like 14 rounds last summer. And I was thinking about it today. If I didn't start playing golf when I was a kid, I would have never got back into it in my late 20s, early 30s. And at some point, I'll be done playing pickup basketball, right? Hard on your back, hard on your knees. Don't really swim anymore. Golf is something that you can do until you're 70, 80 years old, if you're healthy. Tiger Woods gave me a physical activity for life, an ability to bond with friends for life, an ability to network with coworkers for life. Golf is something that I now have fallen back in love with the game. I'm back under 100. I've got a bet with a friend that I'm going to break 90 this summer. And I'm starting to take it serious again. And I wouldn't have that without Tiger Woods. And so today was just, it was mind-blowing for me. The determination, the resolve to never quit, overcoming all of the odds, the mental fortitude that it took to take all of those arrows and all of that shame publicly, overcome the injuries. Like I truly think that the sports fan and sports media have somehow underrated how physically amazing it is that Tiger Woods has come back to be this level of a golfer after three back surgeries. You should not be able to be that good, swing that hard at that age after those surgeries. It should be physically impossible. Forget Elon and the infidelity and the cheating and the tabloids for a minute. Just the physical dominance. Like, we've seen injuries derail all-time great athletes' careers. And it's a sports tragedy when it happens. And that's what happened to Tiger Woods. And today he made it back to the mountaintop, to the peak of his sport, to his tournament at his course and his major, and he won it again. And he's got Bethpage Black coming up, and he's got Pebble coming up, and he's got another decade plus of being competitive at Augusta, because when he's healthy, he seems to always be competitive at Augusta. So for me, he gave me a sport that I will play, hopefully, health provided, next 40 years of my life. So today was an emotional thing that I hadn't experienced in sports since the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, and before that, it had been a while. So I'm just curious. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What did it mean to you? What did Tiger mean to you? Because he is back, and even if he never wins another major, even if he never wins another tournament, he has completed the greatest individual comeback in sports history, and it's not close. And he's validated all of his hard work and overcoming all of that adversity. And it's truly an inspiring lesson. And he is a singular force in sports because of what he means to people and what he means to his sport. So what does Tiger mean to you? What did today mean to you? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We hear from you on what Tiger Woods meant to you. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thanks for hanging out. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius 206. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Talking about what Tiger Woods meant to me, and now it's your turn. What did today mean to you? What has he meant to you? Because I was a little surprised, frankly, at the emotion that I felt when Tiger Woods won it. And I've thought about what he meant to me, but I don't know if I would have ever played golf if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. I certainly would have never started. I don't know if I ever would have later in life. But now as I was thinking about it, it's like, that's going to be the thing that I do to stay in touch with friends outside of fantasy football and get outside and be active, hopefully for the next 40 plus years of my life. And I honestly don't know if I would have ever found the game if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. I'd imagine to a lot of parents out there, what Tiger Woods was able to share with his son and daughter today hit you in a special place. My parents don't golf. I bonded with my dad over sports, but not golf. And I'm not a father. So that didn't hit me in quite the same way I'm sure it hit many of you. But overcoming adversity, dealing with spinal fusion surgery, I can relate to on a very personal level. The work ethic, the determination, and then just the love of the game to keep going. It was a truly beautiful thing and a memorable thing in sports. Jim Nantz tried to make him cry, too. He did his best. Tiger was locked in. He might cry later, but no media member was getting him to cry. If he didn't cry when he hugged his son off the 18th green, just like he hugged Earl Woods back in 97 as the son to his father, there's no way any media jamoke was going to get him to cry. But man, it was awesome. 855-212-4227. Let's stay right here in my hometown of Chicago. Jason, you're on the Danny Parkin Show. What does Tiger Woods mean to you?
Hey, Danny. When I was in my 20s, I had just beat cancer, and watching Tiger Woods, I didn't really care about golf. It was all football and baseball for me, and then just watching him in 97 made me pick up a golf club and get out there with my friends, and watching it today was pretty awesome.
It was, man, and all good health-wise?
Yeah, I've been in remission for about 20 years, so.
Wow.
And, you know, and he makes the sport relevant. When he was absent, there was, you know, people weren't following like they are now.
No, I mean, that's why all those guys stayed behind, and I appreciate the call, Jason, and I'm glad you beat that disease, man. It's a tough one. Thank you for calling and sharing your story. But Tiger Woods made all those golfers rich. He paid for their kids to go to college. He built them summer homes. He exploded the popularity of the sport. He exploded the endorsement dollars in the sport, the ratings in the sport. Sure, some of those guys are his friends, they're his colleagues, they're his competitors, they respect his game and his ability to win at that age, but also they owe Tiger Woods a lot. Think about it. I mean, John Rahm, right? Top 10 finish, doesn't have a major, hits the hell out of the ball. He's what, 24, 25? He's a generation really beyond the guys who watched Tiger Woods when I'm talking about it, when I was 10 years old in 1997. Rory, Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, the best players in the world, grew up watching Tiger Woods. And so now Tiger's competing with his generation of players. It's like when Michael Jordan played against Kobe. Or it's like now Trae Young in the NBA playing against Steph Curry, where you see like the next generation, the next iteration of the great all-time athlete. That's what it is in golf right now. He totally changed the relevance and the popularity of the sport, and he diversified it. Not that the crowd at the Masters was very diverse, but I mean, Tiger Woods diversified the game. He dropped the median age of the game. He got young people playing the game. It's just his impact on that sport, honestly, is unprecedented. I mean, Jordan had a huge impact on basketball, but basketball was already a global game. I'm not sure that any athlete ever in their sport has meant more to it than Tiger Woods has meant to golf. Cody is in Houston, Texas. He's on the Danny Parkin Show. Cody, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, man. And you're right about Nantz. He was begging for a tear in Butler Cabin. That was awesome.
Yeah, but, it was.
No, just just to say, man, I've been watching sports my whole life. I'm born in 86, so right there with you in age. And, you know, it just leaves me speechless. I know that's a cliche to say, but the same guys and I that have watched sports all these years, football, baseball, we for 45 minutes, we just didn't say a word. I mean, coming up 17, finishing on 18, you know, being respectful in his approach. I mean, it was just, it was speechless. I mean, that's the effect. Like, to your point, that's how Tiger has left me and some of my friends. And it just, you know, between the goosebumps and the tears, it's just, it's really cool to see. And you spoke on the impact, and that's really what it is, man. It's just an impact in sports. It's an impact in life, the resilience, just coming back. It means a lot. It was really cool for my friend group. It was really cool for me personally, being a golfer. So it was awesome, man.
Cody, I appreciate the call. I felt the same way. I wasn't close to tears. I don't really get like that over sports, honestly, anymore. But I think that's just because of my profession. So I don't begrudge you if that was how you felt. But it definitely hit me in a way that I was like, man, my life has actually been impacted by this athlete in a tangible way. I'll play 20-something rounds of golf this summer. When you factor transportation to and from the course, five-ish hours, 100-plus hours of my summer, we'll be on golf. My buddies and I are talking about doing, you know, a Destination Ireland trip for our 35th birthdays in a couple of years. You know, playing St. Andrew. It's going to be a thing that bonds my friend group for forever. And we started playing golf because of Tiger Woods. That matters. Let's squeeze in one more call in Massachusetts. Jose, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, guys. Love the show, man. Love the show. I just wanted to say, man, this is one of those few times that you watch, you know, golf in my case, because I'm not a huge golf fan like that. But like you said, because of Tiger, you got, you know, the minority population, Hispanic, Black, looking towards, you know, this guy as like an idol. When I was in high school, I watched him, you know, win his championship, and it made me even sign up for the golf team, which I knew I didn't have a chance. I didn't have that kind of athletic ability that he had. But what he did today, he brought a lot of people to tears. And especially what's going on in this country nowadays, today, politically and everything, this was a very huge victory for not just Tiger Woods and golf, but I think just the people, especially in ethnic, you know, if you have an ethnic background, huge, huge victory for Tiger Woods. Couldn't say nothing more than that.
Jose, I appreciate the call. Listen, I think that we're so divided now, unfortunately. I'm sure it'll just get splintered back apart tomorrow. But it did feel like for a moment or a few moments that everybody was coming together to watch Tiger Woods. So I don't want to overstate its impact on society in terms of you're going to bring in the political landscape. But in terms of sports society, it was unifying. And it was powerful. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I thought it was legitimately powerful. We go to, I want you to stay on hold so that you keep telling us what Tiger Woods meant to you, what today meant to you. But coming up next, Teddy Greenstein's been covering the Masters for a long time for the Chicago Tribune. He was at Augusta today. He will join us to tell us what it was like coming up.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thank you for tuning in. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius 206, radio.com sports. We've been talking about what Tiger Woods meant to me, what he means to you. But now we go to Augusta, Georgia, where Teddy Greenstein, the terrific columnist and reporter for the Chicago Tribune, just got done covering his 11th Masters. Teddy, I appreciate the time, buddy. I'm guessing this might be the most memorable.
Yeah, man, this was awesome. Like, I also covered one of Mickelson's wins, and then Bubba when he hit the gap wedge, hooked around the tree, but this is the one, man. I feel like for people who've covered a lot of them, it's probably Jack in 86 and Tiger in 2019.
So what was Augusta like today?
You know, the whole vibe was obviously so strange because of the time of day. I don't know if you saw what Tiger had said yesterday, but he was waking up between 3:30 and 4 a.m.
Yeah.
To get ready for his 9:20 tee time. My God, if I had to do that, I would not be playing golf. Or I guess I would be if I were Tiger Woods, because now I will have won the Masters. But think about that. So for us, normally Sunday is kind of a chill morning, but we all get in there. And I think we're just so curious how it's going to play out. And, you know, for a long time there, it looks like Francesco Molinari. I mean, this guy, I mean, I tweeted at one point, like, he's making the par save sexy. He just keeps pouring in those 5, 6, 7 footers, and it looks like it's going to be a boring Sunday. But we should know better, because there are no boring Sundays at the Masters. There's always drama. And the moment Molinari puts that tee shot into Rae's Creek on 12, the thought is, like, it's on.
And it really was. I mean, all of a sudden, I had stopped paying attention to him. I wasn't watching the leaderboard on my phone or the side computer. I was just watching the main telecast. All of a sudden, Dustin Johnson had a chance to win.
Dude, I mean, I look up at one point, Patrick Cantlay. I'm like, oh, my God, is Patrick Cantlay going to win the Masters? Another 30 minutes later, you know, Xander, as I call him, Shuffle Up and Deal. You'll like that as a poker player. That's what I call his last name, Xander Shuffle Schauffele, I believe. Then I literally look up and I say, what the hell is going on? Dustin Johnson might win this. And I had no idea. He just had like a late birdie bench. And I've covered Masters like this, where this is why you can't go on the golf course as a writer for much of Sunday, because you just miss too much stuff. I mean, aside from the fact that you would miss the joy of just watching the telecast on Sunday, it's like one of the best days of the year, you'd miss too much stuff. So, you know, when Tiger takes command, when he has the two-putt birdie on 15, then he makes the birdie on 16, then it's like, wow, let me get my story ready for the web and let me get out on the golf course. And it was a mass of people like I have never seen around the 18th green. Like, what's weird about it, Danny, is that there's no video board to look at. So if you can't see the green, you're basically just staring at a manual scoreboard, and then you are hearing roars. And a few people are just like jumping up and down, like they're in a concert, like they're just bouncing. So it's just a very, very unusual scene.
Teddy Greenstein covered the Masters today. He's in Augusta for the Chicago Tribune. Yeah, and they paid what, five figures for the privilege of staring at the back of someone's head in a manual scoreboard?
Well, one of the quirks of the Masters is the Sunday ticket is much less expensive, much less valuable than a lot of the other days, because people want to be parked on their couch. So the most expensive days for the Masters are actually, ticket-wise, tend to be Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday, people want to go to the par three and they want to take pictures. And Thursday, they want to see the full field and they're just so excited to be there because it's been a year.
Okay, so it's a relatively modest get-in.
So they're only paying $2,000 to get in.
Right. So in your column, you called it the greatest comeback in golf history. Many people are calling it the greatest comeback in sports history. Let's stick to golf. What's Tiger in competition with in the golf realm of comebacks?
Yeah, I mean, just the two that come to mind, I believe, are Nicklaus in 86 at the Masters. He had been literally written off. You know, it had been a long gap before he'd won. And of course, back in 86, 46 years old, oh my God, you put this guy out to pasture. I mean, he's about to, you know, he's about to retire and get his Social Security benefits. Now, of course, I mean, Tiger's 43 and can bench press, you know, you, me, and Danny Mac all in, you know, all in one session. So obviously it's different there. And then Ben Hogan. And look, I'm sure for the people who are around after Ben Hogan, you know, almost died in a car accident, saved his wife Valerie, and then 16 months later won the U.S. Open. If Dan Jenkins were still with us, he, I'm sure, would say that Ben Hogan's comeback is better. So those, I think, are the clear top three.
So, yeah, the Ben Hogan one is pretty remarkable. So I've spent the beginning of the show kind of romanticizing it because, you know, Tiger was really meaningful to me. I would have never played golf if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. And long after I'm done playing pickup basketball, I'll still be playing golf, right? It's a way for me and my friends to stay in touch. It's a way to get outside. It's an excuse to travel and get out of the house on a Saturday or Sunday. I mean, he truly has impacted my life in a way that'll hopefully impact it for the next 40 years. You've been around him in the game for a long time. What impact on golf can you say that Tiger Woods has had?
Well, I'm sure he'd be flattered to know that you play golf because of him. Maybe more so, it's guys like Tony Finau and Jason Day. You know, so all these guys who are in their kind of 20s or maybe early 30s, that's who they learn golf from. Tony Finau talked about this extensively yesterday. He said, you know, we've learned from Tiger, basically, it's that step on the throat. You have no friends on the golf course. You're not rooting for anybody mentality. Tiger, you know, unlike Phil, Phil is, you know, thumbs up and high fives and gee whiz and Mr. Social. And Tiger is like an assassin. I mean, his dad taught him, don't trust anybody. His mom taught him, step on their throat. I mean, that's his philosophy. I mean, for years, Tiger never high-fived anybody as he was walking from a green to a tee. But he has changed. I mean, he really is a nicer, more thoughtful, funnier person right now. His, you know, long, long news conference at the media center was excellent. He was funny. I mean, one of his many, many funny lines, he was talking about, somebody said, what's your legacy? And he said, well, one of them is, you know, guys working out, extending their careers, you know, training. He said, back then it was just me and Vijay Singh. He goes, now everybody does it. Even Phil works out. So pretty good line. And it's been nice to see his evolution from, you know, superstar teenagers to, you know, kid in his early 20s to totally troubled, you know, cocky jerk in a lot of ways, but great golfer. And now dad and a guy who everybody can root for, I think.
Handicap his chances at catching and passing Jack Nicklaus. He's at what? He's at 15 and the record's 18? Yes.
I would give him a 15% chance to get to 18 majors. I am still a little skeptical. Here's why. Having been around Augusta this week, that place is so perfect for him. I mean, Danny, how many times did he hit a drive that was way offline, like he's way left on number 2, or he's off on number 11, and there's not really a harsh penalty for missing drives at Augusta National. And then the other thing with Tiger is his knowledge and intelligence and game planning is like next level. I wrote a little something, a second story I wrote today that includes what he was explaining about his thought process on the tee shot at number 12, and it's awesome. And he's processing a lot of information. But the point is with Augusta National, he has played so many rounds there, so he knows where to miss it. He knows, you know, the putts, like that putt on 9, that 70-foot putt that
absurd.
He was able to get up there to a foot. You know, he said, like, you cannot go long on that putt. If you go long on that putt, it rolls down the green. So this is his advantage. His advantage is at Augusta National, where he has played, whatever, 90 competitive rounds. It's not at these other courses that he doesn't know that well.
But he's got Bethpage Black and Pebble, right, for the next two.
That's
where
true.
He's won
That's
both.
True. He is absolutely right. He has good results at Bethpage Black. One victory, one T6, obviously Pebble. So I can see where people are going to be, you know, high on him now. It's not to hate on Tiger. I just think there's just so much flipping talent out there that there are just 20, 25, 30 players who can win any of these majors.
I'm with you. I think the math is against him, but he showed that if he's healthy and he tees it up at Augusta, he could break Jack's record and win one at 47, 50. Why not? If he has that much of a mental edge at Augusta, they play
100%.
It every year. That, you know, like that's a huge advantage for him.
That's a good bet. You know, if you were going to make a bet right now, over under of a half, another green jacket, I don't know. I maybe would take the over on that one. It suits him so well. He has such a comfort level and so much confidence there that, you know, Thursday you saw him. I mean, he was missing a lot of short putts. I thought that was obviously going to be his downfall, but he played so well today that he didn't really have a lot of, you know, 4 to 10 foot putts.
We're talking to Teddy Greenstein, who's at Augusta, covering his 11th Masters, saw Tiger Woods win his 15th career major today. You mentioned the funny press conference afterwards. A lot of people got emotional on social media and watching around the world with the, you know, the father-son dynamic and juxtaposing it against his hug with Earl Woods back in 97. Jim Nance tried to get him to cry. Did he ever crack? Did he ever get emotional when you saw him?
No. Well, you know what? Like right at the beginning of his press conference a little bit. But the thing is, by the time we get him, it's maybe 30 or 40 minutes later, and we're in like a giant room it's not sterile, but it's like the UN, you know, people talk about when they get in there. So it's not like very intimate. So to answer your question, no. But on that topic, we talked to Bubba Watson right after Tiger came in to the scoring tent. And I asked Bubba, I said, what did you tell him? So he said, Tiger came up to Bubba. Bubba's talking about this. And he said, I haven't cried yet. And Bubba responded, oh, you will. Because I think Tiger said that to Bubba because Bubba is like, you know, the cryiest guy on tour. I mean, you know,
he's emotional.
He's extremely emotional. I mean, that's his reputation. So I think that's why Tiger, when he saw Bubba, kind of made that joke to him.
So, I mean, you know, Serena Williams is weighing in, the president's weighing in, all the golfers hang out. You know, who was there any crazy behind the scenes? Oh, my God, here's a celebrity watching Tiger Woods. I saw Michael Phelps on 16. What did you see?
Yeah, the only guy I saw who was real, well, two, actually, John Isner, the 6'10" American tennis player, stumbled into him yesterday, and I had covered him at the Laver Cup in Chicago, so we had a nice chit chat. But Matt Nagy, I believe you're familiar with his work. The Bears coach was out at Augusta National yesterday with his son, and I got to tag along with them a little bit, right about their first time there.
Yeah, man, it's now on my bucket list. I never really wanted to go, but hearing you talk about it and seeing everyone talk about it, it's just like, at some point, I'm going to have to buck up and actually pay to go see this thing, right? You actually say that it's underrated in terms of an event?
Yeah. I mean, as long as you can handle crowds, and then you just got to get lucky weather-wise. I mean, if you have a day where, you know, it's raining two-thirds of the time or it's 92 degrees, you know, it's luck of the draw. But you totally owe it to yourself because there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, there's nothing like the beauty of the place and how everybody's so happy and in a good mood, and then the cell phone ban. I mean, there are just so many things that make it unique.
Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, I appreciate you hopping on, man. Safe travels back.
Have a great rest of the show, Danny. Talk to you.
Thanks, buddy. He's a hell of a columnist. You should be following him on Twitter. It's a sporting event I'll always remember. It was a really, really cool day and just an insane accomplishment because I am someone who didn't think he'd ever get back. I didn't think it was physically possible. Just with my experience having multiple spinal fusion surgeries also, not that I am anything the athlete of Tiger Woods. I'm not 1% the athlete of Tiger Woods. But just the torque and the twisting and the impact and the power and the age, you shouldn't be able to do it. It is physically remarkable what he's been able to accomplish. I want to get back to what this meant to you. If you were rooting for him, why? What did the Tiger Woods win today mean to you? What has he meant to you as an athlete? NBA playoffs talk coming up in an hour, but this day is all about Tiger Woods. 855-212-4227. What's Tiger mean to you? It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.